Today's gospel is one of the more challenging gospels that we hear because the first part really gets our attention in that sense and maybe puzzles us a little bit because Jesus says, if anyone comes to me without hating his father, mother, wife, children, brothers, and sisters, even his own life, cannot be my disciple. So that can be disturbing for some anytime we hear that word hate, which our culture is so against today. You know, in the English language, the word hate has such a deep level of bitterness and meaning. It's really when we hate something, we really just despise it, want to run the furthest we can from it or wish evil upon it. But when the Gospels were first written centuries ago, they were written in a different language. Of course, they were written in Greek. And even though we have some of the same words, they can have a little bit of a different meaning. And so when Luke was writing this Gospel today, he chose the word hate. But back in his time, the word hate in Greek meant to prefer or favor someone or something less. So it didn't have that strong connotation of despising, you know. It just was about putting things in their right order. What do we love most of all? And then what do we love secondarily and so forth down the line? And if everything's in the right order, then our life should go fairly smoothly. But it doesn't mean that we don't love those around us. And we know that Jesus uses that analogy of loving God and our neighbor many times throughout the gospel. So this is really what he talks about when he uses that word hate. But either way, the gospel calls us to radical discipleship, to give up everything to follow Jesus. Nothing in our life should be allowed to get in the way of our service, of course, to God and our neighbor. That's what God would want. And yet we know the world that we live in does not want us to live that way, putting God first. You know, even in these tough economic times, all we need to do is turn on the television or listen to the radio or a podcast, or maybe we're on the internet checking something out or on our phone, and we're barraged with advertisements that are trying to distract us constantly, telling us what we need to put in order in our lives, and it certainly isn't God. And teaching us or trying to get us to buy more and more things and how to live. I was home visiting my mother, and she's been getting into these brain game apps on her phone. So I have to keep reminding her that, Mom, I'm trying to talk to you. Let's have a conversation, you know. But she very much enjoys that. And I think as she gets older in years, these apps, these brain games are really kind of helping her a little bit. And they look like fun, so I asked her which ones she was playing, and she kind of showed me where they were on the App Store, so I downloaded couple and found that, yeah, they were very challenging and fun. So these types of games can help us all, you know, with our memories. But as I was playing the game here at home, or one of these games, you know, I was getting very frustrated because, you know, you would get into it, and I'm sure you've all had this experience. And then after about 2 minutes, this ad comes into your phone and hijacks everything and takes you somewhere else, and there's not a thing you can do about it. But you have to sit and you have to endure it for a couple minutes, and then it'll let you get back to your game. And so you get into it again, and after a couple minutes, same thing happens, you know, and this goes on over and over again and gets so annoying it kind of ruins the fun or challenging experience. Of course, the only way to get out of this is, well, you have to pay. If you want to pay for what you're using, then we'll take the ads away and stop bothering you. So in the end, it's really about money in that sense. But after that experience, I realized I had to stop for a moment and ask myself, you know, how many games, how many things like this do we really need that they're trying to get us to buy and prioritize in our lives? You know, the world never says to us that we have enough things to distract us. Instead, it urges us on to desire and buy more goods and services for ourselves constantly. However, the danger that we've probably experienced by this time in our lives is that the more we have, the more we tend to want. And the more we want, the more we are likely to go out and get those goods or services and get too attached to them. The more we become too attached to those things, the more we tend to get addicted and obsess about them, and the less likely we are to share. You know, Jesus recognized this part of our human weakness, this way of thinking, and so he tells us today, anyone who does not renounce all his possessions cannot be my disciple. And so what does this mean for us living in today's world with the need for things like cars and houses and phones to survive? You know, in the end, it really means that anybody or anything that we put before God will, in the end, lead us away from God. If there are people or things in our lives that we're putting before God, then our lives are spiritually out of order. And so, in a sense, we're violating that first commandment, which tells us not to have any other gods or attachments besides Him. And so, we find ourselves slipping into that, then we must be called at least to rearrange these things the best we can in our lives so that God comes first, and then right behind God, our loved ones, of course, and then the things that we need. Is this a hard thing to do when things get out of order? It can be, but that's why Jesus says to pick up our cross and to follow Him. Sometimes it's not always easy, but if this is what God wants for us, He certainly will help us. And so, how should we use the things that God has allowed us to have in our vocations in life? You know, I'd suggest that we just look at our own Catholic Church as a model. You know, when you stop and think about it, the Catholic Church worldwide in every country owns millions of dollars in property, has millions of dollars tied up in investments. Through the generosity of its members like you, the church is one of the wealthiest institutions in the world. However, even though it possesses a lot of wealth and property, these things are not its God. The Trinity is. And so the church seeks to model itself on Jesus and the early church, where those who were allowed to have much by God shared what they had with others in need. And this allowed them to remain unattached to the things of this world and to be good stewards of God's gifts. In fact, the church today uses its resources in the same way. Our church, along with Catholic Charities, are some of the biggest and most generous organizations in our world today. And so God knows that we need things to survive as we live out our vocations, and so He provides for us. But if we are blessed with an abundance, we have a responsibility, like the church itself, to share and not to hoard, to give back instead of continuing to take. For only in this way will we be truly blessed, be able to keep our lives in the proper order with God being first. For to whom more is given, more charity will be required. So we pray today that God would help us to put Him first in all things and to help us put those things or those people that get in the way of being able to truly love God and our neighbor in their proper order. And so let us remember also that the more we enter into daily prayer in our lives, the more we come to Mass and receive the Eucharist, the more God will help us to accomplish this for a greater spiritual growth, peace, and happiness.